It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Has it really been a week since last we spoke? I suppose so. This is the Horn. This program is live. It is, in fact, the 20th day of September 2022. And, of course, the best place to go to be part of the, well, the only place to go to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany Real-Time Multimedia Madcap Extravaganza that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all times in between and the great globe round, is to go to headon.live, click on chat room, and if you do, you will be greeted by early arrivers, Irish Dave and New Jersey Nick and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become man cave. Hi, I'm Robin. I'm back. I have, had to get on the road Wednesday. The meeting started Thursday. And then yesterday I'd hoped to be on the air, but, traffic. And it was weird during the, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week. 5 o'clock would roll around. It's like, I could swear there's something I need to be doing. And there was, and of course, well, after nearly 20 years of this, I guess it kind of gets in one's blood, as it were. I missed y'all. I really, really did. And but nonetheless, the meeting was fantastic. It was the first time that I had any opportunity to really, I went to Pittsburgh and, did the broadcast thing and did some interviews and stuff, but it really wasn't, massive interpersonal communication. This was that, and it was magnificent. And it was good to be out traveling on behalf of Coal River Mountain Watch again, because the work Coal River Mountain Watch does is so vital and so powerful. It was uplifting and it was affirming. I counted it up on my hands because, math girl. And I think this was either my fifth or sixth convening of with this group. And I saw people I had known from the past and met new people. And we talked about the various different forms of activism that all the groups that were gathered together were into. And it just so happened that the Thursday, the opening of the meeting, coincided with my 2-year transiversary. Oh no, she's not going to talk about that again, is she? Cut me some slack. Last Thursday was 2 years of living my authentic life. And it came with a lot of joy, a lot of joy. And so I shared that with them, and it was people were really happy, and it was truly an amazing trip because, you know, we all know what a transphobic hellscape the Deep South can be, and the disease is spreading. They had a nasty ass little legislative hearing in the Buckeye State today. Maybe we'll get into that later. I don't know. But I got to share my second transiversary. And also on my second transiversary, after all the meetings were over, if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, you'll know this. I got to do something really, really, really super special. And that is, I got to go into Atlanta and spend an hour or so with my dear friend and mentor, Mike Malloy. Mike says, "Hey, y'all." He told me to say that. Tell everybody I said, "Hey." Hey. So we just sat and gabbed, and, you know, I hadn't seen Mike since before the pandemic. And it was just so, so good. I guess the last time I saw Mike was the Malloy Mountain Getaway in the summer of, what, 2019, was it? Yeah. But he's hale and hearty and happy. And, well, Mike is and always will be just Mike. And it was just a delight to see him. But I know, Emilio. Stop clingingly needing us so much, Robin. But, well, I mean, people who need people. No singing. Because, oh, by the way, the fundraising goal is $1,750. And I got a whole bunch of thank yous to go through because, let's see, that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and today. That's a week's worth of thank you. And so working backwards, thanks go out to Vince, and thanks go out to Ralphs, and to Dr. John out in New Mexico, and to Armand. Thank you to Reverbo, the human man. Thank you, Renee. Thank you so much. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. Thank you to Clayton. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you to Grace. Thank you, Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to a dear friend out on the Pacific Rim. You know who you are. Thank you. Thank you to Joy in Ann Arbor. Thanks to Gary, labor man out in New Mexico. Thank you to Gary and Gaia in Oregon. Thank you to Libby. Thank you so much, Libby. Thank you to our buddy Zed in Iowa. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to Reinhardt on the Virginia coast. Thank you to Nagla. And to Robert, and to David, formerly of San Diego, now of Oregon. Thank you. Thank you, one and all. Let's see. I'll do some. And thank you to Matt in San Francisco. And thank you to an anonymous friend of the program who said, have a show and a half on me. Thank you so much for that. That's why the fundraising goal is as good as is. And thank you for a have a show on me from Lori. Please donate to Robin any amount you can. Anything you can spare, even if it's only a few dollars, because it's imperative that we keep this program on the air, especially the way things are going in this country right now. Here's a have a show on me. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Lori, so, so much. And so the fundraising goal was actually, I miscalculated, $1,450, which is not as bad as it very obviously could be. Of course, I don't count Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and yesterday, because I wasn't here. But $1,450 is where we stand. And Ralph says, I'm offering a $50 challenge. Let's call it the Yay Robin's Back Challenge. Yay, thank you. Looks like it's time for Sparky to take out his trusty his trusty brain cleaver and get to work there. Hi, brain. But thank you, one and all. It's well, 1450 is not as bad as what it could be. Thank you. So, oh goodness gracious, where to begin? I got a late start on Wednesday because I had to wait for a prescription to be called in. And, of course, you know, any time I go away, but wait a minute, I have to award an early cowbell. And that's for Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, all around great guy, who you may recall remarked hilariously in regard to the death of the coin that we would have to spend a week watching them drag her around like a Grateful Dead show. Need a miracle every day. No singing! The cowbell is because Steve was 200% correct. And I guess she's off to the big dirt nap now. Whence we all go at some point in time, not being insensitive and, you know, nil nisi bonum and all of that stuff, but Steve made the call. And I didn't pay a lot of attention to it, but every now and then I would see video footage of Chuckles sitting there next to Cammy. Never mind. But I was watching all the because I can't resist paying attention to my news feed from day to day, and it was, geez, I mean, really, excuse me, yeah, I'm trying to figure out really where to begin, because it was kind of like, well, today's kind of like Moran Monday meets Titanic Tuesday meets Thorn in the Side Thursday meets prayer meeting Wednesday, because there is just so much monumental, oh my goodness gracious, since I've been gone, poor Puerto Rico is underwater again. Hurricane Fiona. Maybe we need to stop using names to associate with powerful storms, because can you imagine being named Fiona right now and people, you're the name of a hurricane. Thank you, Sparky. Sparky with an all caps. Zap! And, he is, in fact, Sparky Slayer of Brains. First of that name. New Jersey Nick, that's where I was going. New Jersey Nick just pointing out in the chat room, Donald Trump can throw some paper towels in to help. Oh, I don't think Donald Trump can even help himself much at this point. But since this is, and we need a good clip to get us started for the new broadcast week. You gotta wonder, just does JD Hillbilly Vance, fake Hillbilly, does he have any self-respect left? Because Nitwit Nero went to the Buckeye State to speechify and whatnot. And he made a fool of J.D. Vance, and J.D. Vance has to, well, just suck it up, I guess. CNN had the story. And if J.D. Vance had even a tiny quantum of human decency about him, you'd almost feel bad. Note the use of the word almost.
For Ohio Senate candidate J.D. Vance, and here's what the Trump endorsement looks like these days. Let's listen.
The New York Times did a fake story today, big front page, that J.D. wasn't sure if he wanted my support. J.D. is kissing my ass. He wants my support. So this is a great person who I've really gotten to know. Yeah, he said some bad things about me, but that was before he knew me, and then he fell in love.
Yeah, Barbara, I mean, what do you think? Was that helpful to J.D. Vance at all?
I thought that was an in-kind contribution to Tim Ryan, the Democrat. I mean, it made J.D. Vance look like a mouse, not a man. It was humiliating. And that rally last night, it was a QAnon fest. It was playing this strange QAnon music. They were all sort of, you know, bowing to, I think Marjorie Greene was there talking about the one true leader they have to be loyal to. And it actually was not very well attended. It wasn't the usual, you know, so I think this is a dying, the last gasps of a dying cult, not I do think this is an embarrassment. And if I were, you know, J.D. Vance is really a shell of a person to be there bowing and scraping to somebody who he rightfully attacked, just a few years ago. And those, you know, statements are out there publicly. And I think the best thing for Tim Ryan would be to put his prior statements where he attacked Donald Trump, and then Donald Trump last night talking about how he's, you know, kissing the orange one now and bowing and scraping to him. Because that's not a man that you want to have in the U.S. Senate, because it's not someone who will stand up for Ohio. It's somebody who's going to be kissing the guy in Mar-a-Lago and bowing and scraping to whatever he wants.
But see, the thing is, that's the just about the entire maggot caucus in the Senate of the United States. I mean, if he were to win, J.D. Hillbilly would be right at home. I mean, wouldn't he? I mean, right there next to Ron Johnson and Tommy the Tuber. Next to Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, who sat there and did nothing while Nitwit Nero trashed his wife? Oh, Lord. And just because it's, because it's Titanic Tuesday, I'll note something for you. I do this so you don't have to. I do go wandering around the seamier, more sewer-like portions of the internet, and I have now. So, you know, the cue balls are all absolutely certain that that JFK Jr. is alive. Now, sane people realize that he corkscrewed his little private aircraft into the waters of the Atlantic Ocean. It was sad. But, it happened, and we live in the reality-based community, but the cue balls are convinced that JFK Jr. is somehow now a Republican and a conservative, and he's going to come back and save us all. Well, guess who he's coming back with? Mm-hmm. Princess Diana. Oh, the cue balls. The rest of us may be going. May have been sitting with our little heads in our hands doing the Captain Picard thing. Oh, not this shit again. For a week of a week long grief orgy at the tourist attraction known as the Royal Family of the UK. But the cue balls see symbolism and conspiracy and secrecy in everything. And yes, it's out there now. Get the hockey puck. The cue balls are now convinced that melanoma is really Princess Di. I wish I was kidding. I am not kidding. Oh, she's, I mean, they look so similar. How is it that they can note that somehow or another, and I don't see it, that dead Princess Di looks like melanoma? I mean, there's no overlay there. But they can't notice that Nitwit Nero hired a lawyer who then changed her hair to look like melanoma, and that counsel for the parking garage looks surprisingly like Precious Princess Iwankamadaddy Trump Kushner? Because she does. They both got that stringy, blunt-cut haircut. Then they both kind of look like the girl singer from the Muppets, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Did you ever notice? Because, well, I did. But the insanity, is absolutely running wild. So as I made my way home, I stopped for the night in a hotel in Kentucky, and went in and ordered my dinner. And there was a TV set right in front of me. And I just want to make mention of this. And 60 Minutes was on. I guess the game had just wrapped up or something, where the Arizona Cardinals beat the Las Vegas Raiders. I really think they should have changed the name. They should be like, you know, the Las Vegas Card Counters or something. And counting cards, definitely counting cards. But be that as it may, when the game was over, CBS's 60 Minutes came on, and the sound was down, so I didn't get any of it. But what I got was, first, an interview with President Biden, which I trust went well. Scott Pelley and President Biden. And I think Dark Brandon is, in fact, ascendant. Gas prices were considerably better than they were the last time I made the trip, August 1st. But then there was an interview. Leslie Stahl, who is about, you know, oh, I don't know, maybe short of Mrs. Greenspan over at NBC. She is by far one of the most, among the most senior women journalists in America today. She wields clout. And I guess CBS News felt like they had gotten themselves a real coup by getting an interview with some Iranian mullah who can probably strain lunch out of his beard. And he was wearing his little Bob's Big Boy hat. He was not wearing the red and white checkered overalls. I got to give you, you know, going to be honest about that. And I frankly don't care. You know, these religious maniacs. And I'm not one of those people who just despises Iran for the sake of despising Iran. I think it's a terribly nuanced international situation that calls for cool heads and smart people to be involved. But eventually, the camera cut away to some B-roll of Leslie Stahl. And honest to Pete, I'll get back to it, but Flavio says Princess Di and melanoma. I don't think Princess Di ever did softcore lesbian porn. Did I miss it? Someone commented, apparently someone wore out their copy of Who's Nailin' Palin. Ah! But, yeah, no, I don't think she did either. But see, you got to understand how the conspiracies work. Doing the softcore lesbian porn, Flavio, was how they established the new identity, whereby she became a world famous runway model from somewhere up the holler in Slovenia. Leah, New York, Princess Melanoma. Doing math so maggots don't have to. Melanoma was born before Diana died. Oh, that's what they want you to think. P.S. Janice was the lead guitar and singer in Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, Janice. Yes. Counsel for the Parking Garage and I Wank My Daddy Trump Kushner both look like Janice from Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Thank you. Janice. Keep saying it. Janice. But anyway, back to Leslie Stahl. The sound was down, so I don't know if Leslie Stahl went to Iran or maybe this was the Iranian ambassador to the UN or whatever. But the bottom line is, Iran needed this interview a lot more than CBS did. But, well, you know, it is, after all, the for-profit media and whatever can get eyeballs on screens. You know, run it! And so when the B-roll cut to Leslie Stahl, there she sat with a tea towel over her head. And it immediately pissed me off. And I'm sure if anybody complained to CBS, CBS News,
well, we were only being culturally sensitive, y'all. It's culturally important for filthy women to cover their filthy hair so that the beards won't go into like paroxysms of rapine lost, because you know their culture says that women have to cover their hair.
By the way, there are massive protests taking place in Iran right now over the killing of an Iranian woman who was hauled in by the Iranian morality police because she was not wearing her tea towel over her head one day. Now, before anybody can get upset and say, oh, you're being Islamophobic. No, I'm not. I absolutely am not. I do despise patriarchy. And, of course, Islam and Judaism and Christianity are all patriarchal religions. I don't care much for religion generally. But that's prayer meeting Wednesday, not Titanic Tuesday, even if we did miss it, the prayer meeting Wednesday last week. But when an American journalist bows to the misogynistic requirements of an authoritarian dude beard and puts a tea towel on her head so he won't be offended. I mean, come on, Leslie, honey, read the room. And I'm not talking about the room full of mullahs. Were you really afraid that they were going to haul you out and lop off your head? You, one of the most senior women journalists in America? I sat there watching it and just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. Because I think when Leslie Stahl put that tea towel on her head, she was manifesting internalized misogyny. You know, some need to satisfy some cultural imperative that women certainly never put in place. Oh, but she's got to put a tea towel on because then, if she doesn't have the tea towel, he won't talk to her. Well, pardon me for jumping into the blue language 30 minutes into the program. Then fuck him. Iran needed that interview far more than CBS did. And if CBS had any courage, any conviction, any fortitude, they would have said, listen, dude. I always liked the way Lee Marvin said, dude, in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. His character was so awful, but Lee Marvin's voice, oh my, dude. Listen, dude. Ms. Stahl is not going to put a tea towel on her head for your benefit or anyone else's. And if you complain about it, Ms. Stahl has told us to tell you she will dye her hair flame red, put it down around her shoulders, and show up in a red bikini. Okay, beard? But, of course, CBS doesn't have that kind of courage or fortitude or respect for women. And this all happens at the same time that Iranian women are tearing the tea towels off of their head and denouncing the supreme leader of Iran, Ayatollah what-the-fuck-ever his name is. And this is not, again, this is not about hating Iran. I've talked in the past about how if I were Iran and I was surrounded by countries that hated my guts and had nuclear weapons, I might want one too. Flavio says, you're not Islamophobic. The 22-year-old woman who was beaten to death in Iran was also a Kurd. You know how well the Kurds are treated in Iran, Turkey, Iraq. Yeah. But let's not let them have their own country. I mean, it's not like we've ever done that before. Let an entire... shut up. But the imagine that. The women of Iran, who are as likely to be beaten or shamed or punished, penalized, jailed for not wearing their sacred tea towel on their head, are willing to do so to flaunt that rule and Leslie Stahl didn't have the starch to tell Dude Beard with his Bob's Big Boy hat on to take it like a man. Man up, Mullah. It's just going to be a little while. You'll have to see my filthy hair. And I'll have you know I washed it this morning. Oh, but no. And the more I thought about it, the madder I got. Because I realized that in putting that tea towel on her head for the benefit of some misogynistic asshole, Leslie Stahl actually narrowed the distance between herself and, no, not some Iranian mullah. Leslie Stahl narrowed the distance between herself and Amy COVID Barrett. You know, there are circles within circles. A pebble dropped in a pond will create ripples the size of the pond itself. And in the era of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Center, when, as the dissent notes, from the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of, with Leslie Stahl putting the tea towel on her head to satisfy some patriarchal short dick, she stood with the conservative Republicans in this country. No, that's not to say that conservative Republicans and maggots like Iran. They don't. But like I said, circles within circles. And so CBS News told us a lot about who they were in that interview without saying a word. And Leslie Stahl told us a lot about who she is without saying a word, because she let a man control her female body when she put that goddamn tea towel on her head. And so here we are. I don't know about y'all, but I can tell you this for certain. Leslie Stahl's stock fell a lot for me Sunday evening. So I just kind of wanted to talk about that. And then, of course, we've got, you know, Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis, kidnapper. Oh, he may have... He actually may have fucked up. I mean, I don't mean like politically or optically. He may have fucked up criminally, you know, as in human trafficking. But then again, we know Matt Gaetz was involved in human trafficking several years ago, and the U.S. attorney still hasn't gotten around to indicting him now, has he? Conning desperate refugees into getting on planes with promises. Oh, where we are? No, where you're going, there'll be jobs, and you'll be taken care of, and there'll be places to live. And then flying them to Martha's Vineyard. Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis is, make no mistake, a kidnapper. Scary Jerry says, Ron DeSantis ad, clean up Florida means something else than you think it does. I reminded a first-generation Cuban that Ron DeSantis created English-only Florida in 1989. A conservative Cuban lost all the blood in his face. I said, Ron thinks you're probably Mexican or Puerto Rican. Megaton equivalent of N-word bomb. Like calling Chinese people Japanese, and I told him that Ron was saying Castro shit. I told him they took Havana and wouldn't even give you credit for Miami. The gays and the Cubans. The man was ready to stab a bitch. A former DeSantis positive. Christ hasn't emailed back. We'll do it myself. Got to do that missionary work, Scary Jerry. And see, the problem is, here's where he stepped on the rake, Monkey Up did. A lot of the people that he shipped up to Martha's Vineyard are Venezuelans. And I happen to know a Venezuelan woman, and she comes from a very large family, and she is a lovely, brilliant woman. And they get real pissed about being treated like shit in a real hurry. But you gotta understand what it's like with maggots. And to do that, and the example comes to me, of course, because I was recently in Atlanta, and Atlanta is the home of Coca-Cola, and we have talked about this in the past. If you are in the South, and someone says, what do you want to drink? And you say, Coke, a Southerner will often say, what kind? And they're not asking if you want Diet Coke or regular Coke or Coke Zero. No,
Do you want a grape? You want an orange? You want a big orange? Okay. You want Sprite?
Now with the new clear bottle. Different bottle, same Sprite, billboards. I saw them while I was gone. Because, you know, America in the early years of the third decade of the 21st century, somehow, I guess, thinks Sprite will be different because it's in a clear bottle. Oof.
But, you know, what kind? You want a Coke? Yeah. What kind? Pepsi? You want Coke? Yeah. What kind? Dr. Pepper.
And that's how it is with the maggots and the Republicans and Hispanic people. Ron Monkey Up DeClantis just thought he was putting some Mexicans on a plane because, you know, that's what Greg Asbot told him.
Yeah, they're here in Texas. They're illegal. We done caught them. And we'll just put them. Well, what? Are they Mexicans? Oh, yeah, they're Mexicans. What kind? Venezuelans?
Are they Mexicans? Yeah, what kind? Puerto Ricans? Are they Mexicans? What kind? Guatemalans?
They are anybody south of the Rio Grande, all the way to Tierra fucking del Fuego, is a Mexican. If you're a maggot, if you're a Republican, because you can't really be bothered with anything like cultural competence or geographic literacy.
We were sitting in a meeting, and it was Thursday evening, and a man I've known from previous meetings is a brilliant activist, and he is, no kidding, Mexican. And it was actually Mexican Independence Day on Thursday, September the 15th. And we were doing what they call cultural sharing. And so he stood before the room and said, "We all know I'm Mexican. What kind of Mexican am I?" And people kind of don't know, and because I don't have sense enough to keep my mouth shut when I should, I said, "Do you mean like Chichimeca? Otomi?" And he looked at me and his eyes got so big. And he said, "You know that?" I said, "Yeah, never, don't ask." He's like, "Well, no, I'm neither one of those." But he said, "Glad you know it." "Thank you." But the point he was making is that American people are clueless about people south of the Rio Grande. You know, and even within Guatemala or Nicaragua or Honduras, yeah, there are tribal groups within the boundaries there, but, you know, it's a miracle if you can get a maggot or a Republican or a conservative to even say Guatemalan instead of just Mexican. Well, I mean, they come from Mexico, didn't it? That makes them a Mexican.
Jesus.
And so somebody told Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, "Sir, we think it would be a great idea to take some of these Mexicans and fly them into Martha's Vineyard. They say that they like immigrants. Let's see how they like them when we drop them in Mark." Okay, we'll actually land the plane. We're not going to drop them in. That's a great idea. That'll play to my maggot base. I'm surprised I haven't seen a news story yet where Nitwit Nero said, "Yeah, it was my idea. I told him to do it." God. Scary Jerry says, "I'm going on stage Sunday and I got some jokes." Oh, dear. Maybe save it for later. There's so much this evening, because so much has sort of gone by. And I don't need to take this long away, but oh well. It was a wonderful trip. I did not get misgendered once, even down there. It was all yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And at this second anniversary level, it's kind of like, woohoo! The best one, though, was, okay, there's some food porn involved. There was a pizza place when I was growing up, and they did it, and the Italian members of the Horn Family Community Congregation are probably going to cringe, because you know what a stromboli is. I know what a stromboli is. But when I was young, there was a pizza joint. It was called Pasquale's Pizza, and pizza and sandwiches or whatever. Pizza and pasta. And they had a sub that was done on like a garlic baguette, and it was just a long slab of like a ground steak patty, rectangular, and it was baked in brown mushroom gravy and served with pickles. And they called it a stromboli steak, and I had not had one in 40 years. And lo and behold, I've been trying for like 3 years now, and the place is always closed when I'm going past Coleman. Well, lo and behold, it was open. So I went into Coleman, went to Pasquale's. It's like one, the Alabama used to just be covered with them, but they sold out, and then whoever bought it ran it into the ground and damn near destroyed it. They had great food, including the aforementioned stromboli steak. And please, please, don't send me the definition of a stromboli. I know what it is. I've enjoyed many of them. It's like a calzone, but it's not. But I stopped in there, and the place was empty. There was some college ball on the TV, and I ordered my stromboli and told my stromboli story, and the lady who was taking care of the dining room, you know, wiping off the tables, and if anybody came in and sat down, she'd take their order, walked up to me. You know, we can file this under the suspiciously large woman segment of the program. Hi, Matt. And she said, she just walked up to it, because this happens in the South. And she looks at me and says, "You're real tall. What are you, 6 foot?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Well, you're real pretty. Did you play basketball?" And I said, "No, ma'am. No, ma'am. My feet are firmly rooted in the ground." "Well, you had to play something." And I almost screwed up. I wasn't being a smartass. I was not being a bitch. But it's just hardwired, because I was about to say, "Oh, no, I played football. I was a nose tackle." But I caught myself. Yay. Takes about 2 years to get to that place, I guess. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? 2 years. And I caught myself and I said, no, I played softball. A little volleyball. I don't jump real good." And she said, "Well, I always wished I was tall. It'd be nice to be able to reach the high things on the shelf." And I said, "Oh, I know, but sometimes..." I said, "But buying shoes is a real bear." And she said, "Oh, I bet it is." And we went through it all, and it was just delightful. And I you know, they said, you come back here if you come through Coleman again. I said, "I'll come, as long as y'all here and y'all got them sandwiches, I will be back." Because I had already, I'd been in the Deep South for, you know, 3 days, and oh, the accent was back with a vengeance. And just all sorts of beautiful moments. And to be accepted as I was, it's magic. And to have it all happen in the South. I mean, you wouldn't think twice if that happened in California or Massachusetts or New York or Oregon. But to have it happen in Coleman, Alabama, y'all, that was big. And Well, I mean, okay, I'm sorry, Flavio. God damn it, it's a Stromboli. The stress is on the first syllable. It's a volcano on an eponymous island off the coast of Italy. Stromboli. Like Strom Thurmond, right? Well, you know, we're accustomed to with Latin languages to putting the emphasis on the next to last syllable. So that's my defense. But in Cullman, Alabama, Flavio, God damn it, it's a Stromboli. It's a Stromboli steak sandwich. That's what it is. You walk in there and you say Stromboli, they're going to look at you funny. Because it's going to be like you don't know what the name of the damn sandwich is. And it's a Stromboli in Boaz. And it's a Stromboli in Gardendale, too. And it was a Stromboli in Florence and Muscle Shoals. Birmingham. It's kind of like the difference between Uvalde and Uvalde. And I got straightened out on that real quick by Joy in Ann Arbor in the early days of discussing that ongoing horror. Yeah, I agree. George says, more like a panini. Yeah, I can get down with that. Yeah, that makes sense. Did you play basketball? I believe, Lee says, I believe Dear Abby quoted this retort. No, do you play miniature golf? Ooh. Oh, well, thank you, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut says, welcome back, by the way. I'm so happy to be home. And not complaining or anything, but I didn't have a decent night's sleep while I was gone. There's something, the longer you live on this planet, it seems, because I've gotten a lot of agreement over this. The longer you live on this planet, the harder it is to sleep in a strange bed. And I don't mean, by strange bed, I don't mean like it's, you know, got, you know, teeth that emerge from the headboard or anything like, no, these are all perfectly good, serviceable hotel beds. But, God, my eyes, ping, popped open at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was so exhausted by the time I got to where I was, going on Sunday evening. Mercy. And I think, I don't know, I think we need a movement or something in this country to eliminate blue light from hotel rooms. Because there was a blue light on the display of the microwave right at the foot of my bed. Great bed. I mean, I like a firm mattress, and this thing was harder than Babylonian arithmetic. It was firm. But that blue light was there, and somehow or another, even if you're asleep, it seems like it has the ability to find its way behind your eyelids. And so I woke up at like 3:30, and I'm like, oh no, not again. I can't do it. I can't go up the road this tired. I can't do that. And so I turned away and put my, you know, face in the pillow. No, stop it. I didn't bite it. And actually fell back asleep and got some decent sleep, woke up refreshed, got on the road, whatever. Blue light. We've tried to eliminate it in our own bedroom, and it's just, it's horrible. It's really horrible. But I didn't sleep well the entire time. And so you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and just kind of give up and you get ready and face the day. Hotel room Saturday night, the air conditioner was busted. That's a complex Southern term, busted. But I caught myself pining for home. I did. And I think maybe it's one of those things that happens as we age. I'm more sensitive to changes in altitude now. Because I'm about 2,000 feet above mean sea level here. And it's not that in Atlanta. You know, it's a slow, steady, downhill run. And I learned something else about myself. There's no... I don't know how to explain it, but... I think I've spent so much time in West Virginia where everything, you know, the horizon is circumscribed by the Appalachian Mountains. And when I came down, there's a spot on I-75, you know, you go I-77 out of West Virginia, you pick up I-81 in Wytheville, Virginia, and you take I-81, you know, basically to Knoxville or near Knoxville, and then you wind up, and then you got your I-40 for a little bit, and then you're on I-75, and that I-75 takes you down to Chattanooga. And there's this point on I-75 where you crest a hill, and you see the Tennessee Valley of Chattanooga before you, and there's like 12 lanes of traffic, and you can see for miles and miles, and the traffic is just... It looks like it's like a bundle of snakes, and it's just you're shifting and seething and slithering, and whew, I think girl got a little vertigo or something. And they are all members of the apparently members of the Dale Earnhardt Death Cult fan club. It was kind of creepy. Found out about another thing. I learned about. Oh no, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't go into that. That's just. Let's just say I felt objectified. By the way, yes, Steve in New York, and you get a cowbell for this. By God, it's a Stromboli in Versailles, Ohio. And in Versailles, Kentucky, too. You know, Steve, you and me better lay off, or we'll give Flavio the fan tods. I'm not picking on you, Flavio. You know what you need? You need to come down out of Wisconsin and take a nice, relaxing break in Cairo, Kentucky. That's what you need. No, Cairo, Illinois. Noise. Cairo, Illinois. That's what you need. Maybe make a foray further into the south and stop in Arab, Alabama. Sorry. Oh, and thank you for the cowbell, Billable Rick. Billable Rick said, cowbell for you, Ayatollah, whatever the fuck his name is. Isn't it Ali Khamenei or something? And Brother Deacon Asa says there is some nuance there which we need to consider. Did that interview take place on Merkin soil, or was she flown to Iran? If the latter is the case, Leslie Stahl wouldn't have had a choice. Well, I disagree. She could have said, "Nope, not going to do it. Going to turn around, we're going to pack up the cameras, we're out of here, and you can get somebody else to tell your story." Then again, they might have then thrown her in some Iranian hellhole prisoner. Maybe let her be beaten to death like they did the other woman who refused to wear her fucking tea towel. Jesus, toxic masculinity is toxic. Flavio, let it go. A Stromboli isn't a goddamn sandwich either. The things y'all fixate on. An Orthodox Stromboli is a turnover. Stromboli is a type of turnover filled with various Italian cheeses, typically mozzarella, and usually Italian cold cuts, typically Italian meats such as salami, capicola, and bresaola, or vegetables. The dough used is either Italian bread dough or pizza dough. Stromboli was invented by Italian-Americans in the United States in the Philadelphia area.
Name of the dish is taken from a 1950 film of Stromboli, which in turn is named after a volcanic island off the coast of Sicily. A Stromboli is similar to a calzone, and the two are sometimes confused. Unlike calzones, which are always stuffed and folded into a crescent shape, a Stromboli is typically rolled or folded into a cylinder and may sometimes contain a thin layer of tomato sauce on the inside. I love them. I don't know what the pedigree of this particular sandwich is, but damn, it was good. And it's also served with pickle slices. Pretty sure there are no pickles in there either. But this is the evolution of, like, cuisine or something. Also, a villain in the Disney movie Pinocchio. Forgot about that. Thank you, Lee. Emilio, can I get a Drambuie sandwich, y'all? Shut up. The subject line, Flavio, Steve in New York, says, then to Rio Grande, because that's how they pronounce it there, Ohio, and on to Newark, Ohio. That's N-E-W-A-R-K. Now, I had a fraternity brother from Newark, and I can verify the fact that it is pronounced Newark. And we introduced him as our brother from the Little Apple. Don't ask. Oh, did you go to the game, Scary Jerry? That sounds fun. The Mountaineers miraculously survived their tilt with Towson State. Oof. I don't know how bad Auburn is or how good Penn State is, but that was a pasting. There was much giggling to be had in Georgia. They're a damn machine. Oh well, stop that before we lose the entire audience. But there is so much out there to talk about. And you're welcome to engage in the conversation. I heartily encourage it. But in the meantime, I think we'll check in. Check in on the Green News Report. Oh, and by the way, Darlene tells me that there is a new host, a new sheriff in town over at Washington Journal. And Darlene says, and it's about damn time. She's even less tolerant of the stupid than Pedro. So, that should, and she is a strong black woman. So it should be fun when, you know, your average can... Holy shit, that's a big spider. Stand by. It's a wolf spider, but I got to get her outside. Stand by. She ran away. I hope she... Well... I wish her well. I would very much have liked to have taken her back out to the grass where the hunting is better. Oh, life in this studio. But anyway, like I said, we'll check in with... Who is it? Flavio has a... It was on U.S. soil. You win. That's what I thought. Pressure builds against Iran's Raisi before trip to New York. The president, that was the president of Iran that Leslie Stahl was bowing and scraping to on American soil. That's what I thought. He's a hardliner, so it would have been really nice to see Leslie Stahl stand up for the rights of women in Iran, but oh well, she's Leslie and they're not. He was a practitioner of gross violations of human rights, Ebrahim Raisi, member of the death committee that ordered the killing of thousands of political prisoners in 1988. And he's even proud about that. And a civil lawsuit has been filed in the United States against Iran and Ebrahim Raisi. But that's okay, Les. That's okay, Leslie Stahl. You put that tea towel on your head to show you respect him. Because you're just a woman, aren't you? God, it's sickening. If you'd like to participate in the program, you're absolutely welcome to. The Skype line, Bob Kincaid Horn. And, of course, the stress line, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And that'll get you into the conversation. I have to take my 6 o'clock meds, so I'll be right back. Here's Brad and Desi.
It's Tuesday, September 20, 2022.
We're reaping what we've sown. We're now experiencing devastating climate impacts.
Three simultaneous major storms underscore climate crisis impacts. Climate change juiced Pakistan's catastrophic flooding, study finds. Plus,
this is my ancestors' land, and I feel like I shouldn't have to leave.
Court blocks massive proposed plastics plant in Louisiana.
All those blockages and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Yeah, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you as a climate scientist is that your predictions come true.
Yeah, you know, that's also the worst thing that can happen to you as a political news person on the radio. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, I know the Queen of England died a couple of weeks ago, so that's kept the news media busy, but as it turns out, there were three huge storms over one single weekend.
And a lot more than that over this past summer. As we go to air, it's Climate Week in New York City, the annual Climate Solutions Conference coinciding with the United Nations General Assembly. Both events arrive after a summer of extreme weather disasters around the world. Pakistan is still reeling from one of the worst climate disasters in history. The World Health Organization warns of a second disaster. Waterborne and mosquito-borne diseases are surging after unprecedented rains inundated a third of the nation, killing more than 1,500 people, and there is not enough medicine to treat millions of displaced people living in crowded camps. This week, climate experts at the World Weather Attribution Initiative reported that climate change supercharged the intensity of Pakistan's record rainfall by as much as 50%. And the month-long extreme heat wave that preceded the rain was made 30 times more likely. This past weekend, three powerful storms hit simultaneously around the world, underscoring the rising costs of inaction on climate change. Hurricane Fiona ripped across Puerto Rico as a Category 1 storm, causing a territory-wide blackout on its fragile electric grid. Some areas received as much as 30 inches of rain, triggering astonishing flooding. As we go to air, one death has been confirmed, thousands rescued from the floods. President Biden has issued a state of emergency to free up federal disaster funds.
I hope he's ready to throw them some paper towels.
And FEMA says it learned from monster Hurricane Maria, which devastated the island 5 years ago this week. This time, FEMA pre-staged emergency personnel and supplies. Also on Sunday, Typhoon Nanmadol slammed Japan, unleashing torrential flooding in mountain areas. More than 9 million people were told to evacuate. The storm is expected to cause billions in damages. In Alaska, the zombie remnants of Typhoon Merbok hit western Alaska as the most intense storm in 50 years, causing dangerous storm surge flooding over more than 1,000 miles of Alaska's low-lying coastline, destroying bridges, roads, and coastal defenses.
All within 2 or 3 days.
Yes. And on Democracy Now!, climate scientist Dr. Michael Mann summed up the onslaught of extreme weather this summer, from historic heat waves in China, Europe, and the U.S. to Pakistan's biblical floods and this weekend's crushing storms.
We are witnessing the devastating consequences of climate change now. This isn't 10 years into the future. It's not way off in the Arctic. It's where we live now. We are experiencing devastating consequences of past climate inaction, and it really drives home the importance of taking action now.
Yeah, and wait until it gets really bad.
But some good news.
Good.
In Australia, the parliament has passed its first major climate legislation in more than 10 years, with a first ever mandate to cut Australia's carbon emissions 43% by 2030, which would bring one of the world's top coal exporters in line with Western allies like the US and the UK.
Nice.
Also, South Australia, where they famously installed one of the world's first utility-scale battery farms on a bet from Tesla CEO Elon Musk.
Right.
South Australia is now set to become the first major regional grid to run on 100% renewables.
Very cool. I remember when they used to get blackouts all the time until Elon Musk and his batteries came along.
Yep. And finally,
this is my home. This is my ancestors' land. And I feel like I shouldn't have to leave my home to let an industry come in here and destroy what was built up for us from generations.
A state district court in Louisiana has revoked air permits for a massive proposed $9 billion petrochemical plastics complex in the majority black district of St. James Parish, a region known as Cancer Alley because of high cancer rates among residents living near a large number of polluting industries. Formosa Plastics Corporation says it will appeal, but the ruling is a major victory for local environmental justice groups.
Nice. Good news indeed. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we didn't have time for, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Oh, no, very nice bump out there, Brad and Desi. We are at the, into the second hour of this Titanic Tuesday program on this, the 20th day of September 2022. I'm so glad to be home. I got a note from Christopher during the break. Robin, you were wondering if Donnie's orange depends are all in a bunch over death sentence stealing his anti-Christian ideas. Does the Pope shit in the woods? Trump is furious at Ron DeSantis for stealing his ideas in his news cycle from him. Report. 2024 Republican primary will be a race to the bottom, Christopher says, the likes of which we've never seen before in this nation's history. They will all need to cut to out-cruel each other over and over and over again. Tennessee stand stockades, Texas stand gallows, Mississippi stand firing squads, Florida Iron Maidens. All absolutely distinct possibilities. And as you always say, y'all, they're gonna do it again. And that's a perfect lead-in, actually, Christopher, to one of the stories in the stack today. Yeah, this is a real humdinger. according to folks involved in analyzing domestic violence, well, among them, Blake Hounshell, a reporter for the New York Times, well, two experts, Luke Mogelson and Andy Campbell, who are experts on right-wing extremism, in the interview with the aforementioned Blake Hounshell at the New York Times, they told him the worst is yet to come. Andy Campbell has a book out on the Proud Boys and said, I really do believe that going forward it's not just going to be MAGA rallies, it's not just going to be political violence at Proud Boys rallies or leftist rallies or BLM events, it's going to be political violence at any civic event that happens to fall in the crosshairs of Donald Trump and company. And then reporter Hounshell continues, in the United States it's not illegal to be a part of a domestic extremist group. To go after specific threats, the government has limited tools, meaning that federal officials often must find links to groups overseas in order to crack down on homegrown extremists or prosecute them under other provisions of law. Complicating matters, Republican politicians like Trump, who instructed the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by during a presidential debate back in 2020, often provide rhetorical cover. And Mr. Mogelson said that he was reminded on January 6th of what it looked like when he covered armed conflicts in other parts of the world. He witnessed a mob killing of someone in Iraq, which gave him an understanding of what he called the intoxicating feeling that can whip a crowd of seemingly ordinary people into a frenzy. He began reporting on anti-lockdown groups that mobilized against the pandemic measures put in place by governors like Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, a Democrat, and he immediately saw that the story was much longer, larger. Speaking to the Times, he said, I soon realized that these groups and this movement was rapidly mutating. Wow, just like a virus. The Republican Party seems not to know what to do. It seems like their inability to rebut the Proud Boys and other extremists is pushing this machine forward so much faster and really making it hard for law enforcement to keep up. Making it hard for law enforcement to keep up. And that's the reason I brought this story up in the first place. Basically, the essence is that law enforcement can't keep up. And even though we call for law enforcement to prepare, guess what? Well, I mean, this is just the reality. Law enforcement is already compromised. Law enforcement is already infiltrated. There's not a single law enforcement body in this country that doesn't have something of this right-wing maggotry baked in. And we've got a for instance. Would you happen to remember representing Clay Higgins? He's a maggot from Louisiana Stan. And he's a former law enforcement officer who apparently has a past history of brutality. Interviewed by Raw Story, Clay Higgins said, the ceremony on January 6th has been largely misrepresented by the left and the media that they control. So just as I was being very hesitant to change any molecule of ink on the Constitution, I'm also very conservative when it comes to changing the well-established traditions and ceremonies of our governmental procedure of transition of power of our republic. Now, this is one of the maggots, Clay Higgins, who voted against the certification of the 2020 election in the House. And never mind the fact that hundreds of maggots have been arrested in the aftermath of the terrorist attack of January 6, 2021 on the seat of constitutional governance in the United States and upon the Constitution itself. Oh, hell no. Note that he says, the ceremony on January 6th has been largely misrepresented by the left and the media they control. So, you know, don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe all that video. Don't believe all that audio. Don't believe all the testimony. Don't believe the guilty, the convictions. The guilty pleas. The jury verdicts. But Clay Higgins says that he's gonna find the real insurrectionists. Well, you know, if you find the real killers of Nicole Simpson, let OJ know, would you? Would you there, Clay? When Raw Story asked him to tell him who were the real insurrectionists? Well, I can't tell you. It's a very complex investigation. There's a whole cabal, understand? It'll take me an hour and a half to run through. I have a file 4 inches thick in my office. That's 2 more inches. Never mind. Into January 6th and prior, it was horrible what they did, how they did it, and the injury they brought upon America. It's going to be addressed. It's going to be revealed. It's going to be addressed. Very likely people are going to go to jail. Some of it's put together, but it's not put together. The dots are not put together. So he knows it wasn't really maggots, even though, you know, 850 maggots have been charged. It wasn't really maggots. It was probably the BLM and the Antifa, the people against teeth, the Antifuses. And he's going to keep on riding that horse until that horse is too lame to ride, because so far he's riding that horse on a circuit that keeps getting money put into his pocket. And as the old saying goes, it is hard to get a man to understand something when he is paid not to understand it. Jesus, these people. Hey, thank you, Roger. Thank you, Roger in Ohio. Thank you so much. Half of Ralph's Yay Robin's Back challenge has been met. Thank you. And if we, if somebody else jumps in with the other $25, that'll mean that we are down to $16.50 to go, and we will have funded a third of a show sometime 2 weeks ago. Thank you, Roger. Thank you for being a partial sponsor of the program. Kind of makes you wonder how law enforcement's going to... You know how law enforcement could prepare for the worst that's yet to come? By actually taking seriously the fact that their ranks are probably thoroughly infiltrated with these insurrectionist bugs, punks, assholes. Oh, and today in Ukrainian war, you know that Putin's ne'er-do-wells and dead-enders and mercenaries and criminals, the Russian army. You know they've been getting their ass kicked. And so having done an about face and run as fast as they could to get away, now Mother Russia has declared that three areas will have referenda on whether they want to be part of Mother Russia. I'm pretty sure the ballots have already been cast. And I'm pretty sure we know who cast the ballots. All of them. Yeah. Vladimir Putin Vladimirovich. And they're playing a little fast and loose. But we knew that. The troops of Mother Russia and not Ukro-Nazis fired a missile that hit within 1,000 feet of the South Ukraine nuclear power plant. It's about 160 miles west of the 6-reactor Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. A 1,000 feet. Yeah. The International Atomic Energy Agency's director is Rafael Mariano Grossi. And he said that the situation at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant remains fragile and precarious. Last week we saw some improvements regarding its power supplies, but today we were informed about a new setback in this regard. The plant is located in the middle of a war zone, and its power status is far from safe and secure. Therefore, the nuclear safety and security protection zone must urgently be established there. But Putin doesn't much care, because if he can't own Ukraine, he's happy to have it be an unlivable radiation zone, no matter where the radiation travels. Sweden, Finland, Germany, Poland, France. Yes, who cares, huh? Mr. Grossi, Director Grossi, said, while we have recently focused on the urgent need for action to prevent a nuclear accident at Ukraine's Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, establishing an IAEA presence there earlier this month, today's explosion near the South Ukraine nuclear power plant all too clearly demonstrates the potential dangers also at other nuclear facilities in the country. Any military action that threatens nuclear safety and security is unacceptable and must stop immediately. Energoatom, that's the state-run outfit that operates the 4 nuclear stations in Ukraine, said that Mother Russia carried out a missile attack on the industrial site of the South Ukraine nuclear power plant. They did go on to say that all 3 reactors are operating at a normal mode, but the powerful explosion damaged buildings, broke 100 windows, and shut down a hydropower unit as well as 3 high-voltage power lines. Well, this is, you know, this is literally a shot across the bow. And make no mistake, if Putin can't win conventionally, he will win dirty. Or thinks he will. Jesus. And you wonder, what the NATO alliance would do if Putin does cause a Chernobyl level disaster, because Putin's down to missiles and, you know, Iranian drones. Yeah, what were they? They were described as kamikaze drones. I don't know. But the bottom line is, even though some of the lickspittle media freaks over there in Mother Russia are calling for all-out war, whatever that means, against Ukraine, Putin knows that if he starts conscripting Muscovite boys, shit's going to get real bad real quick. Yeah, for the Muscovite boys getting conscripted, but also for him, because when the boxes start coming back to whatever passes for the middle class mamas in Mother Russia,
You're not going to take kindly to it. This is no great patriotic war. This is a special military operation. Petro Kotin, who runs Energo Atom, said this: there's no other way to characterize this except for nuclear terrorism. A few hundred meters and we would have woken up in a completely different reality. That, according to Kirilo Tymoshenko, who's the deputy head of the Ukrainian president's office. And the funny thing about radiation is it doesn't just stay put. And I don't know exactly what the winds are like. Ralph says, would the winds over Ukraine travel west or east? No, I'm guessing they blow maybe southwest and northeast in most instances. That's only a guess. But remember, Chernobyl showed up on devices in France, England, Sweden, yeah, Germany, Poland. It's unsettling. According to the Associated Press, the Defense Ministry of Mother Russia did not comment on missile strike. And the strategic aim of this, according to Patricia Lewis at the Chatham House think tank in London, said basically Russia is trying to shut down all electricity to Ukraine before the coming of winter. She said it is very, very dangerous and illegal an illegal act to be targeting a nuclear station. Only the generals will know the intent, but there's clearly a pattern. What they seem to be doing each time is to try to cut off the power to the reactor. It's a very clumsy way to do it because, well, how accurate are these missiles? And Beyond Nuclear, an advocacy group in the U.S., said, until now, all eyes have been focused on the 6-reactor Zaporizhia nuclear plant, far closer to the most intense of the military action. But there are 4 operational nuclear sites in Ukraine with 15 reactors total, all of which present a grave danger should the fighting embroil them. And the fighting will embroil them. Because Putin is trying to force Ukraine to its knees in the middle of a blistering and ferocious Slavic winter. Beyond Nuclear, by the way, has been warning about all these risks since even before Mother Russia invaded innocent Ukraine. In the meantime, though, we're at the halfway point of the program. Let's go over to the stress line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program. Are you there?
Hello, Robin.
Oh, hey, Ken. How are you?
Yes. Hello, Robin.
Yeah. How are you?
I am doing upset. A big, giant hole. So the last challenge, I think there was $25 left.
Yes, in this one? Right, yeah.
Wrong.
There's $25 left in this chat. That'll get us down to $16.50.
I'm going to hit the... I'm going to make that 33, and I'm going to do the third challenge because I know how you like threes. You know, pie is 3.
Yeah, right, exactly. I like pie.
Yeah, me too. Oh, pie is wonderful. Apple pie and caramel, oh, delicious.
Oh, I had some homemade southern pecan pie while I was down in Atlanta. Oh!
I'll bet. I get some tasty cake. I don't know if that's a substitute, but they're pretty good.
I've had
so
them.
Anyway, why not? Yeah, they're pretty good. It's like the old Dolly Madison pies. It's pretty much the same thing. Sugar on top of sugar and a little flour thrown in. At least the sugar is not aspartame or something.
Hey, I have a quick question for you, if I may.
Go ahead.
If one needed to be in Johnstown, what airport would one fly into? Would that be Cleveland or would that be Pittsburgh?
I think Pittsburgh because they built a whole huge airport in Pittsburgh, but it's kind of a regional airport now. All the main carriers just bailed on it. Don't know why, but I would think you would want to go out of Pittsburgh. Or it's like State College. Even Philly, well, Philly is gigantic, so.
Well, I was just wondering, because I have a friend who's going to be going to Johnstown.
That's my thought about it. I can't really say that. I have had a lot of travel on my belt.
Yeah. Well, I just...
Go ahead.
No, when you popped in, I was thought, oh, Pennsylvania guy. Because, you know, wherever you're from, you're supposed to know about, you know, everything in your state.
All right. Well, Treaty speaks for all the black people. And,
yeah, right. Exactly.
I know everything about Pennsylvania. But I'm my little enclave area, which they succeeded in splitting. Some time ago. It was horrible. To get to the point, my mom's brother got COVID. He's like 99. He got COVID. And so my cousin's in town, and you're going to have to talk me off a ledge, Robin. Because I'm just about at my wit's end. I just want to freaking forget all about being a family because she's a nut. Smart, 2 degrees, supposedly smart, but dumber than a fucking hog is in the ass, right? Dumber in the head and hogger, whatever.
Dumber in the head and hogger is in the ass, yes.
Yeah, right. What has gone on? I feel like I'm in an island, and you know, this supposedly blue state or where I'm at, but everybody I talk to is a freaking lost their mind. And somehow, you know, Trump comes up and like, well, she's an independent, so she doesn't have to, you know, take a claim on anything. You don't have to stand for anything. Take pots up. Both sides are the same. And then, you know, Hunter Biden, the big galsy over time. I told her, when did he hold public office? Never?
What?
He's a private citizen. And she's not stupid, but there again, there's that stupidity. Just you want to believe all that nonsense. They really want to believe it. I used to bring up the X-Files. I'm like, I want to believe. Well, I want to believe in aliens too, but you know, unicorns. I fucking love unicorns. They're beautiful. You know, but it doesn't make it a fact. It doesn't make it true.
No, it doesn't.
What do we do? I want to flick cigarette butts at him off the ledge, right?
I know.
Family, and you can't cut it out.
So I've got a question.
I've got a question, Ken.
So family comes in, you're keeping your mouth shut, you're not talking about any of this, and yet they bring it up? Is that because that's usually how it happens?
Yeah. And then did, well, that was pretty much before, but now I just started pushing back. Because, like, honestly, I believe in something. I believe that you're absolutely nuts. And Jesus Christ, why don't you be a liberal? Because you talk about all the same things. But we know how we talk about the Overton or the, it's not a straight line. There's a circle about political beliefs. And they'll agree with about everything else, but, well, like, both sides do, and there's corruption, and there's nothing you can do. So, I don't understand the disconnect. I just can't. I don't understand how it gets so disconnected from reality. Yeah, well, so they're all about power and, you know, whatever it is, but then again, we have to have a government, because if we don't have a government, we have anarchy, we have libertarianism, God forbid.
Well, I mean, and libertarianism is just a conservative form of anarchy.
Right. Well, it's like feudalism is worse. It's before feudalism. It's, you know, every man for himself, and, you know, the strongest guy on the block, you know, gets the power. The strongest guy on the block is the people with the money. But, you know, she didn't understand what globalism meant. I'm talking about globalism. You know what? That's the Jewish conspiracy, right? They've been speaking in code, but he has no idea that that's actually true. Yeah. And I should feel bad for bringing that up.
Don't be.
Then the thing that really, really, really set me off, Robin, was the trans issue. That's when it blew up. My best friend.
Did they?
You don't have a friend.
Did they bring that up in the conversation?
Oh yeah.
For pity's sake!
I don't want my daughter to see somebody in the bathroom, and I was just dumbfounded. I can't even respond to that. Because I could have a really good argument, but you just, like, you get slapped in the face. Like, what the fuck does that have to do with fucking anything? Like, absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Maybe your daughter already saw a trans person. Because they're probably closeted.
They haven't started making us wear pink triangles sewn onto our clothing yet. Odds are that that child has already seen a trans person in the restroom.
I'm sure I did.
I mean, if the child is old enough to have seen 100 people in the restroom, that child has seen a trans person in the restroom.
No, it's embarrassing for everybody. It's cis or trans or whatever. You're not going around like shoving, you know, your junk in their face. What the hell? It's so fucking funny to me because it's ridiculous. Imagine that, like, a gay person. Like, I wasn't gay. I know there were gay people in our gym class, but as a cis guy, I didn't like gym class. I didn't want to get naked in front of anybody else, unless it was like a female and we're going to have sex. Well, How ridiculous has this conversation come to? I mean, we're not even talking about what matters. Is that those people are going to do it again. They're going to steal our country. Stop steal? Yeah. Let's stop the fascists from stealing our country.
Well, it's so frustrating because it's not a thing. It is so easy for people to be. It breaks my heart. I know people. I have personal relationships with people who have been sucked down the rabbit hole, and they've been pulled down the rabbit hole by Joe Rogaine, you know, Pink Shrek, and Ben Shapiro, right, and Jordan Peterson, and Charlie Kirk, and oh God, the latest one. Let's see. I think I've even got a clip here. Let me just try to pull it up here.
Okay. You need a producer, really.
Yep, I am the producer. Shut up.
I know you are. But you need to have multiple personalities.
So this is not. Yeah. This is what. Quit it. Don't tell anybody. I don't want to be Thorazine darted in the neck. Now quit. This is a clip, of course, from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And the graphic behind shows hot pink, fluffy, furry, padded handcuffs. And spelled out in alphabet blocks, K-I-N-K, kink, and underneath is scrawled, four kids. It is, of course, testicle toasting Tucky O. Rose Carlson. But we need to have a working understanding of what stochastic terrorism sounds like. And this is what it sounds like. Stand by.
I have my hockey puck. Stand
by. People committing them should be punished. Now, try and say that out loud anywhere but on Fox News. You can't. Why can't you? Because it's true. That's why. You can't say the true things. You can claim the earth is flat and no one gets exercise. But when you start saying things like all lives matter or sexualizing my children is a crime and if you keep it up, I'm going to hurt you because I'm the dad. Say that. Ooh, you're done. Libs of TikTok is being banned from the internet. Why? Because it showed documentary evidence of what was happening. Some people describe what was happening as grooming. We're not exactly sure what that means, but if it's sexually abusing children, yeah, that is what's happening. But the term groomer is now hate speech, says NBC News.
A couple of months ago, these people, one is Libs of TikTok, another is Matt Walsh, you have Chris Rufo, who you just mentioned. They've been villainizing and literally demonizing these doctors who treat these people for months now. And so in that time, you can just see it in their mentions. This sicko language, I've seen it a million times over because every time they tweet about these doctors, using these doctors' faces sometimes, and all of the comments are like sickos, demonic, satanic, pedophile, groomer.
Yeah, they're being mean to doctors who castrate children, who cut the breasts off girls. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. You fucking liar. You goddamn miserable, scum-sucking, basement-dwelling. Yeah. No, there are not doctors cutting the breasts off little girls who, you know, don't have them in the first place.
What's the percentage?
And Libs of TikTok was engaging in other stochastic terrorism. And that's why they got banned.
Yeah.
And by the way, a Boston woman has been charged with calling in the bomb threat to Boston Children's Hospital. And she was, in fact, weaponized by the likes of Tucker Carlson, by Libs of TikTok, by Matt Walsh, by all of these monsters. But what's important is that, you know, not to be outdone. You know, he said Libs of TikTok showed documentary evidence. No, they didn't. It doesn't exist. It does not exist. But let's go back and let's finish this.
Okay.
You know, they show stories, you know,
it's apparently hate speech to say groomer. No, the stories that show up on the screen behind Tucky, Boston Children's Hospital warns employees over far-right online harassment campaign. Satanic panic is making a comeback fueled by QAnon believers and GOP influencers. FBI charges Massachusetts woman with Boston Children's Hospital bomb threat. God damn it, put her away for 1,000 fucking years.
Faces sometimes, and all of the comments are like sickos, demonic, satanic, pedophile, groomer.
Yeah, they're being mean to doctors who castrate children, who cut the breasts off girls. Yeah. This is not only happening, it is being celebrated and aggressively defended by virtually everyone with power. Take 3 steps back. We used to say, oh, our society doesn't care about children. That's not what this is. What you're seeing is a society that hates children. You would have to hate children in order to sexualize them, because sexualizing children screws them up for life. Ask anyone to whom it's happened. Period. No.
The interesting thing, though, Ken, pay attention here. I'm not saying you weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Is that he's talking about sexualizing children when that is precisely what's not happening. Allowing a child to allowing a trans kid to transition does not sexualize the child. You know what sexualizes a kid? Letting a kid watch
Barbie sexualizes kids. What about breast augmentation?
That's a good point. Barbie sexualizes kids. That's a big damn deal.
Yeah, like, well, shit, any guy wants
but
a big package.
Oh, they're castrating children. No, they're not. How do you castrate a kid who's... how do you castrate a boy whose balls haven't dropped?
Right.
Okay? At that point in time, they are adolescents. But it's still not happening. It can't happen until the age of 18. And he says... which they are doing, but you'll notice that because Emery and Marveline watching Fox News are not sharp enough to go, well, if there's real evidence, why aren't they showing it to us? Yeah, why not? Testicle toasting Tucky? But let's finish the clip.
Okay.
Let's finish the clip because this is the important part.
Because sexualizing children screws them up for life. Ask anyone to whom it's happened. Period. No one should put up with this. No parent should put up with this for 1 second, no matter what the law says. Your duty...
no matter what the law says, pay attention there.
Your moral duty is to defend your children. This is an attack on your children, and you should fight back.
Now, what he just did is tell the people who believe his lies to go out and hurt people.
Right.
This is the very essence of stochastic terrorism. The one woman got busted for the bomb threat. What he wants is for somebody to start shooting. No matter what the law is, the law says you can't shoot people, that justice is not revenge based on a personal level, but that it is administered by the state. So when he says protect your children no matter what the law says, that means go out and proactively hurt physicians and nurses and social workers and clinicians and other parents.
Right. Well, activate the brown shirt. Those fuckers aren't doing it. They activate the brown shirt. The stupid idiots that are going to carry it out. And they're going to get whatever punishment gets meted out, and they don't care as long as they have somebody to outsource their terrorism to. What's the difference between Tucker Carlson and some fucking mullah? The same difference, right?
Yeah.
It's sickening, Robin. I can't see that. And why? Why do we even have to be talking about this? We have way bigger issues to talk about. Not to minimize you know, what they're going to, or what, I guess your group, after they're done with you, and they're going to go back to the Jews and the, anybody they can scapegoat. Kind of the same thing with the Sanus thing, you know, shipping immigrants off the thing. That's a Klan tactic, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's ship the black people off to the northern countries. We'll promise them, you know, ponies and gold at the end of the rainbow. And then there has to be some criminal freaking charges of that.
Yeah, it's slow. Jesus Christ. You know, it's gonna get worse. It's gonna get worse. Oh, by the way, I have to send out thanks to our pal Tracy. Tracy just finished off the Ralph's Yay Robin's Back on the Air challenge. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you so much. So that gets us down to $16.50, which is a big deal because there are still frightening amounts of bills to pay. Thank you, Tracy, and thank you to Christopher. Christopher jumped in via Venmo. Robin's Front. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you. So that gets us down to $17.45. Making some progress here.
Yeah, sounds good. That sounds like my challenge is met. I was basically going to give you $100 anyway because, it, you know, my radical self-interest is to keep you on the air.
I love your radical self-interest.
However insane... However insane and how bad the news is that we talk about, it still keeps me centered.
It's funny when I travel. When I travel, I run up and down the road just screaming in the car. I mean, this program serves an important role, and I'm being selfish here for me.
Yeah.
Because it cuts down on other people having to listen to me scream.
Well, it's catharsis.
You know, Mike Malloy and I had a fantastic conversation Thursday night, you know, talking about how we, you know, it doesn't matter. You keep the passion stays. Simply because there's no other, you feel like there's no other choice. I mean, climate change, the outrage du jour of the white wing, missiles flying at nuclear power plants. You know, and you can hear you can almost hear Putin up there in his in his bunker saying, "Missed it by that much." Jesus.
All the time, they're worried about Hunter Biden, Hunter Biden.
No, I know.
His emails, or her emails, Hillary Clinton. Oh my God. Stephanie Miller, like, I'm going to die mad. Tell me, I am too. I'm going to die mad.
Yep, fine by him, yeah. And I have to be careful about, one has to be careful about one's language on social media. So I've taken to using I say discorporate mad about it, or let them discorporate mad.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That's complicated, Robin. You expect some kind of idiot to understand what that means?
Well, that's precisely the purpose.
Discorporate. You're going to cut my head off? Or cut my balls off.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Okay. You're fine. And by the way, I had a note from our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest. I'm driving and just pulled off listening to you and Ken. When I get home, I'll send $50 your way. Peace. Oh, Jude, thank you so much, dear. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jude.
Jude loves the varied conversations that take place here, because she recognizes that things happen in conversation that don't happen in a monologue.
No, I don't. Conversations bring out the aspect of what you're talking about. Where a monologue, you believe it or you don't, some guy wrote the script that you're reading off the teleprompter. I don't doubt that veracity or some people's passions about what they're talking about or should, but with you, no, it's pure, it's for you. That's kind of why I can't take this stuff anymore. Even if I'm not coming out, I have the courage to speak my truth. To, you know, if I have to burn the bridges, then, you know, so be it. I'm going to be something I'm not. And shit, maybe I even wanted that. Because I don't want to deal with these people anymore. But I don't care. And I'm going to be antisocial again. And that's a pretty ugly place.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a hateful. We should be better than they are. You know, I really hate these people, but God damn it, I really don't. I don't want to be better than something I hate. Oh, God. All this hate is dreadful. And I'd rather talk about something that makes us laugh.
Well, I would too.
Or something.
And you know we do that along the way. I mean that's why I told
yeah, we do.
That's why I told the story about you're tall. Did you play basketball?
I'm short. I do wrestling.
No. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, oddly enough, growing up now, we didn't have wrestling in my high school.
Oh yeah, we did.
I think maybe the Church of Christ was opposed to them skimpy little wrestling leotards that the boys have to wear.
Wow, kind of got to wonder about those guys. I mean, they wrestle other guys. Maybe they enjoyed it. Really.
Like
the small armpit.
Those are some serious guess your religion togs. I don't know. Well, Ken, it's wonderful to hear from you, and thank
swimming.
You. It's wonderful to hear from you, and thank you so much for your help. And chime in anytime, okay? I've had a couple of people try to jump in on the stress line, so I want to make some room for them if they want to try back again.
Okay. Hopefully we can get the Skype thing worked out, and we'll do that in the meantime. I love you, Robin, and the community. Peace.
All right. You take care. Peace, Ken. Be good now. Bye.
Yep.
Okay, so we are down to, get this, $13.95, thanks to Ken, and thanks to Jude, and thanks to Roger, and Tracy, and Ralphs. And Christopher, thank you all so much. Well, you know, I guess I'm not sure what is the official. Let's find out. Let's just get it over with. Let's see. LASTDAY. There it is. Yeah, day after tomorrow is the last day of summer. Ah, Jesus. And these last couple of days have been absolutely beautiful here in the hills. But with the coming of autumn, we get the coming of the great pumpkin spice fraud. Like I said, I'm still waiting for the, I don't know, pumpkin spice mayonnaise and the pumpkin spice Vienna sausage. But it also, you know, because we're in the rundown to the November 8th elections, we are deep into the silly season. And that means that the Republicans will be going particularly batshit crazy from the Department of Oh for Fuck's Sake. We get Ronna Romney McDaniel. I always like to add that Romney back in there just in case anybody happens to forget that the head of the Maggot National Committee is the niece of Bishop Willard. I know it's no great observation, but the fact of the matter is they're gone. I mean, you know, Princess Di didn't get killed, and she's really melanoma. Well, Ronna Romney McDaniel now says that the Democrats destroyed our border. You know, that's the big talking point lately. Open border policy. You know, there's been I saw the number earlier today. It's some breathtaking thing. Let me see. I saw it earlier. I just want to get the number right. Well, I don't know where it went. But at any rate, well, like 2 million people or something have been arrested at the border this year. I guess that doesn't make the Chiron there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Because, again, Ronna Romney McDaniel says, of course, on Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, that the open border policy of Joe Biden says that the open border policy is just going to bring in so much fentanyl. Right there on a live TV show, she said, "Every mom in the country right now is worried. What if this gets into my kids' Halloween basket? Because there's rainbow fentanyl." Oh, look at you, man, co-opting the rain. And it's a way to target children with fentanyl. It's probably more a marketing thing, according to a Vice News article. And I can believe it, because back when we were in Bush War II and the Afghan government was cutting, was cracking down on the heroin trade, you know, when we bombed Afghanistan further into the Stone Age, the opium warlords came back to power. And it wasn't long after that that there were stories about how packages of raw opium were showing up in New York, or heroin actually, and they were actually brand marked by, you know, with the sigil, if you will, of the various and sundry individual warlords, you know, kind of like Nabisco or Sunshine Bakeries. Well, the fentanyl producers are doing the same thing. They're making their fentanyl different colors to highlight their fentanyl as against their competitors. Because remember, black market narcotics trade
is the ultimate capitalism. It is the ultimate in laissez-faire. And so naturally they're going to behave in a capitalistic fashion, which, you know, that's, you know, trade, you know, branding your smack or your fentanyl. Ronald Romney McDaniel is not a serious individual. She's damn sure not a very intelligent one. And then, of course, there's always, no, dear God, Senator Jubilation T. Cornpone Foghorn Leghorn from Louisiana, Stan. He showed up on Fox News Radio, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda to talk about the fentanyl.
But President Biden will let any illiterate gangbanger, oftentimes with drugs, come right on in if he can wade across the Rio Grande, and that's not only unfair, it's illegal.
Well, you know, I can understand his ire, Senator Foghorn Leghorn. President Biden will let any illiterate gangbanger, oftentimes with drugs, come right on in. Well, we have a literacy problem in America, y'all. We can't be letting these illiterate gangbangers in, sometimes with drugs. How dare President Biden? We should only be letting literate gangbangers, sometimes with drugs, into America. Daggum it! And former President Clinton showed up and gave an interview. And he said, and he's not wrong. He said,
the Republicans have to find some new way to scare the living daylights out of the swing voters about something. That's what they did in 2021, where they made critical race theory sound worse than smallpox.
And, of course, since Bill Clinton said something, Ronna Romney McDaniel had to say something back. Newsflash, Bill. Your party is scaring people just fine. We don't need to help you. We don't need to help you with all that. You're scaring voters everywhere with the open border. Just last month, 2,000 pounds of fentanyl came across our border. That could kill 500 million people! Oh, dear. And we know it was 2,000 pounds of fentanyl. How? I mean, Jesus. It goes on and on.
On the issue of abortion, however, there's big referendums in the state of Michigan.
Yep.
And also in California. I think Kentucky might have one as well. How do you believe that plays for or against you?
I think it'll be different state by state. And with Michigan, it's on the ballot. It's directly to the voters. So I think our gubernatorial candidate can say, listen, you're going to decide. And I'm going to run about bringing jobs to our state and our education issues and our roads. I think every candidate has to address it in their state. I do not think they...
Hold the hell on, Ronna Romney McDaniel! It's on the ballot and the voters will decide. Whatever. What about the precious little fetuses that you were grunting about? Well, what happened? Well, the voters are just going to decide. We're going to talk about economic prosperity. But you're the one that made it necessary to put the referendum on the ballot with your barking and grunting and hooting about the precious fetuses and the alliance defaming freedom, dragging $100 bills through trailer parks. Gee. Let's not talk about the abortion thing. We're trying to run away from that now. Shh. Ixnay on the abortion A. That's ad bay for us A. Come on, Bill Hammer.
Can ignore it. I think they have to take it head on. This is where the Democrats want to play. They'll have the money to make this an issue, so we have to tackle it. Put them on the defensive on their policy of due date abortion, on gender selection abortion. I think that's what China does, that you can abort a baby just because it's a
China.
Girl. And then pivot to the voter as a whole voter. Most voters don't wake up thinking about abortion every day. What they're thinking about, and we know this, is crime and the economy, so it's got to be a three-step process.
Hold the hell on!
The Republican Party has spent 50 years trying to get its base to wake up every morning thinking about the precious little fetuses. God, and I thought, and I was insecure about my voice. God, Jesus, she sounds like a howler monkey. But she wasn't
process,
done.
Address it, put them on the defensive, and then get back on the issues that the voters care about. Bill.
Okay. And then, of course, let's make sure we scare the maggot moms. No, honey, you can't go out for Halloween. The Democrats done put fentanyl in the Reese's Cups.
Bill Clinton weighed in. He thinks that Republicans have a way of trying to win. Listen to him here.
You have to note, the Republicans always close well. Why? Because they find some new way to scare the living daylights out of swing voters about something. That's what they did in 2021, where they made critical race theory sound worse than smallpox.
I mean, Greg Gutfeld last night on The Five, he said the Democrats have been trying to scare people as well.
I know, I was going to say, newsflash, Bill, your party's doing that just fine. We don't need to help you with that at all. You're scaring voters everywhere with the open border. I mean, just last month, 2,000 pounds of fentanyl came across our border. That could kill 500 million people. We're coming into Halloween. Every mom in the country right now is worried, what if this gets into my kid's Halloween basket?
You're talking about the rainbow
fentanyl. The rainbow fentanyl. What if my teenager gets this? And the...
Oh, Ronna, honey, why is your teenager out trick-or-treating? I mean, shouldn't she be riding a bicycle somewhere and asking people if they have time to talk about Joseph Smith's plan for their lives? These people. I don't know how that fentanyl is going to kill 500 million people in America, because we're a country of only somewhere between 335 million and 350 million. Is it going to double kill some people, Ronna? Does this have something to do with sister wives or something? Whatever. Yeah, I know. Randy Radar says, I didn't know that evangelical preachers were crossing the Rio Grande. Fentanyl? Yeah. No, that's meth, Randy. That's meth. Thank you. Thank you, Tom and Sunny San Rafael. Cowbell for you. Actually, I almost threw up from pumpkin spice mayonnaise. You don't want to live in my brain, Tom. We've talked about this. You just don't want to live in my brain. Thank you for the cowbell, though. Pumpkin spice. I was almost afraid to say it. Because there's not much that they haven't pumpkin spiced it so far. I mean, really. One of these days, I'm going to go into the grocery store and see pumpkin spice egg rolls over in the Asian section. I swear. Oh, yeah, sure. No, one of the people I thanked in the time hall I was gone was our buddy Dr. John in New Mexico, who posted the other day a picture of a package of pumpkin spice pumpkin seeds. Huh! Well, at least that involves something pumpkin. Biggest fraud perpetrated since this way to the egress. Pumpkin spice coffee, pumpkin spice tea. There is no pumpkin. And pumpkin spice is just cinnamon and clove and allspice and ginger. But that's too many words. And people wouldn't... Well, I don't know that I want any cinnamon, clove, and allspice, and ginger, and nutmeg in my coffee. No, but it's pumpkin spice. Give me two! Everybody else calls it that. Why can't the advertising and marketing types just call it what it is, white girl spice? It's
white girl season. Oh, pumpkin spice season. Yay. Oh, God, I'm going to shut up and go over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
So, can I get a pumpkin spice latte, please?
Shut up. You want some pumpkin spice Vienna sausage, and you want to dip it in some pumpkin spice mayonnaise?
But see, that's what I know you did that for, because you're like, you know, as much as Tracy hates mayonnaise, she does like her pumpkin spice, so maybe that's the way she's going to get it.
Yeah, you'd buy it. You would buy it. I hate mayonnaise, but it's pumpkin spice mayonnaise, so that means it's good. Pumpkin spice ranch dressing. Damn.
We can only go too far.
Somebody hire me.
Oh, gosh. Pumpkin spice, you know.
I swear we are not that far from Pumpkin Spice Summer's Eve. We're not.
No. See, that is so wrong on so many levels. Because you're not supposed to do that anymore.
I know, but, you know. Oh, well, okay. You've waxed eloquent about this stuff. Pumpkin spice lume.
They do. Oh yeah. See, they. Oh God. Well, I've been using lume for over two years now, and I don't think they have a pumpkin spice scent. God help us if they do.
Oh wait, we're off and running. Wait.
Oh no.
Somebody get Gwyneth Paltrow on the blower. Pumpkin spice.
No.
Pumpkin spice jade egg.
Speaking of Gwyneth,
you know
Paltrow,
it can happen. You know it can happen.
So she is the ultimate white girl. So, it's been a minute. So the other day, so that everybody who's been to New Orleans or who have aspired to go to New Orleans has either tried and gotten in or tried and not gotten in to really make Scotch House fried chicken. And so, you know, I've been to New Orleans three times and I still have yet to get in there. So, just so happens that they're opening a Willie Mae in L.A., well, in Venice. But it was supposed to be open earlier this year, but, you know, permits and stuff like that. So they have these, you know, they have ghost kitchens all over L.A. Well, this particular ghost kitchen is called The Colony. And so it's kind of really cool. Because you could order your food there and actually eat it there. So like my friend that does her place, there's nowhere to eat. You can so a bunch of your friends can get together and go to this spot. You order your food, and if you want it there, they'll bring it to you. No matter which, they have like four or five different restaurants. No, I take that back. Like 10, maybe 10 of restaurants as well. But what? Two of them are group places. Isn't that Gwyneth Paltrow?
Goop?
Yes. Isn't that her company, Goop, or whatever the hell it is?
That's her.
So she has two kitchens. She has Goop Rotisserie and Goop something else. And I'm like,
you could not get me through the door with a gun against my head.
Well, again, I didn't know I was there for the chicken. I had no other reason to be there other than for Willie Mae fried chicken. And that's wonderful. I did not know, though, Because you know me and spice, not so much. But I had no idea that there was spice in said chicken. And I'm like, yeah, it was kind of painful. But it wasn't terrible. But I ordered the chicken. I ordered red beans and rice and mac and cheese. And it was wonderful. I now understand why people, you know, because I really have nothing to compare it to, since I've never actually had the from the actual place in New Orleans. But for what I've had, I'm happy. And I will go back, you know, but I just got to make sure, because see, the day that I went, that was last Friday, and it was the very first day of their opening. And yeah, they were kind of backed up. So I waited, 40 minutes for my order. But, you know, it was okay. You know, I'm supporting a black business, so I had no problems waiting. Because that part, too. And I've been wanting to try it. And they were very gracious to apologize for me waiting for so long. They gave me a couple of glass bottle Coke. And some extra, they gave me a couple extra pieces of chicken for patiently waiting. So, you know, that part. So, I'm quite happy that I finally made it fit. I mean, like I said, now hopefully next time I go to New Orleans, I'll be able to go. I did, you know, the last time I went, over Christmas, I did make it to Dookie Chase's. So that was nice. So, you know. So,
but you still haven't been to Cochon Butcher?
No. Wait, what do they have there? I think you asked me we told me I should go there, but I think there was stuff there that I wasn't going to eat.
Well, there's Cochon and there's Cochon Butcher. Cochon Butcher is the sandwich shop.
Okay. I could do sandwiches. So how are you, sis?
You know, I'm so daggone.
You know, well rested.
I'm so happy to be home. I haven't caught up yet because I think I'm still short about 16 hours of sleep. But I'm just so doggone happy to be home. I like to get out on the road. But I love getting home.
I was listening, you know, because we were talking about, you know, your patterns of sleep issues. See, I am the exact opposite. Because, see, I drive people like you and Dan crazy. I can sleep anywhere. And I think maybe it's because of what I do for a living. And so I snatch a nap when I can. But let me tell you, it don't take much. I'm one of those people that as soon as I get on the plane, and if I have a window seat, I'm asleep. I'm asleep before drink service. I'm asleep before they even start talking about the safety stuff. I'm asleep. I mean, and like Chan said last night, I don't get how you do it. You get in bed, and 10 minutes later, as soon as I get the pillow, I'm out. It is a gift. I know.
It's not the falling. It's not the falling asleep part. It's the staying asleep part. Because I mean.
Oh no! I stay asleep.
I was in. You know, especially once I got into Central Time. Ping! 4 o'clock.
Oh right. Right. Well, for me, it was so because it's. I'm getting to that point that I'm getting into that really because sometimes like Jan will be standing over me and I hate it when she does that. I'm like, really? Is that really necessary? But she'll be calling, you know, and then she'll like scream because you're like, Tracy. And some of the times I'm not going to lie, I am ignoring her. But there's times that I don't hear her. And I hear, you know, it's kind of like that sound, you're thinking that you're, you know, like if you're in a really deep sleep and somebody's saying something to you, but you think you're dreaming. And it takes you a little bit to realize that somebody's trying to say something to you sleep. That's me. That's the kind of sleep that I get into. And it sometimes it scares me because it's like, if you know, when the advancing hordes come and stuff like that, I hear them. What?
No, nothing.
So it's, you know, but anyway, Kelp, I'm really happy that you're back. I know that you had a really good time, you know, at your conference and stuff. Did you talk about it at all yet?
Just in the very broadest general terms. I mean, there's just so much there. I mean, it was just beautiful.
Like I heard when you were talking about how they didn't, no one misgendered you and any of that other stuff. That must have been amazing.
It absolutely was. It was like I said, it was beautiful. I mean, just perceived as what I am. I mean, I still take my clutch with me into the restroom because, well, one of these days I'm going to run across some maggot Karen and I'm going to haul that little driver's license out and say, "You see that F? That doesn't mean I failed the test. It means I'm a girl, only not with that voice." You know how it goes.
So you can't use that voice. Hold on a second.
I understand.
But no, I'm just happy that you were someplace where people appreciate you as much as we do here.
Oh shucks, that's sweet. Thank you, Tracy. I mean, there were so many moments, and some of these are just so prosaic, and God knows testicle toasting Tucky Oak Rose Carlson could hear this, he'd probably have a plum conniption. But you know, during the downtime, and so I was, you know, it was a nice hotel, very nice hotel. Room was absolutely beautifully minimalist. And it was well insulated because I did not.
What is going on? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My door wasn't closed. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It was very well. I'm in competition with the ding. It was very well insulated because I did not constantly hear massive jets taking off at Hartsfield International Airport in Atlanta.
That's right, because you were in Atlanta.
Yeah, and I was right out by the airport too. But it was a beautiful facility. There was a class of future Delta flight attendants, and you want to talk about people that were. And I mean, those folks were working their ass off. I mean, it was 6 weeks of breakneck school. Flight attendants have to know just about as much about the aircraft as the pilots do.
The pilots.
And I had some great conversations with them. But anyway, I was sitting in a corridor, and I was going over my materials and making some notes, and I had my phone out because I had to check email because, you know, away from home. And I'm sitting there minding my own business. Had a pretty little skirt and blouse on. And no, that was the day I was in the navy blue polka dot suit, which is just the cutest thing I've ever owned. And I was, you know, it's a little short suit. It's like got shorts and a jacket, and I had a white shell on underneath and a little blue butterfly necklace.
Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh. And, well, you saw the picture.
Yes.
And had my hair done up in curls. And so I'm sitting there minding my own business.
Was your hair fried, dyed, and waved to the side?
Well, it was not waved to the side. That's but it just happened to be the corridor that had a ladies' room in it. And talk about, I mean, this sounds so silly and so prosaic, but it was just a beautiful thing. This guy working maintenance for the hotel walked by me and kind of looked at the ladies' room door and looked at the ground. And so it was pretty obvious he needed to be in there, but he didn't feel comfortable going in there. You know, because ladies' room, never
right.
Mind, never. It's all just plumbing, but women. And finally, he looked at me. I mean, I might not be a man no more if I come over there and I come up and, oh. And so he finally looks at me and goes, "Ma'am, yes. Could you please go in there and make sure it's empty in there for me, please? Because I have to go in and do some maintenance work, and I don't want to walk in on anybody." And he was kind of bad.
And I know you were giggling for yourself.
He was a nice guy. He was bashful, and he was blushing, and he was kind of.
No, I'm sorry.
Kinda,
you were probably giggling to yourself.
Right. But he was kind of wagging his head, kind of, you know, with that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, shucks.
Oh, shucks.
I said, well, sure, honey. And got up, went in. Hello, anybody in here? Sisters. And I turned around, walked back out, and said, "All clear." "Oh, thank you, ma'am. I couldn't have stood it if I'd walked in there and there'd been somebody in there." "Oh, you're just fine, honey. Anything I can do, you just let me know." And like I said earlier, I was so far into my gooey Southern accent, it was bad. But it comes naturally. It wasn't put on. It wasn't faked. Because, I mean, I grew up with that accent.
And I wasn't
using my broadcast voice.
You know what?
I can feel the cringing in the Horn Family Community Congregation right now. Oh, her broadcast voice, really? Yeah. She sounds like a howler monkey with laryngitis.
Oh!
What?
Oh! Okay. Before I forget, so you guys know that we're in a horrific drought here, right?
Yes. And by the way,
and
apparently the same thing has happened in the Southeast because the corn should not be, the cornfields should not be as brown as an Amazon delivery box yet.
Whoa!
And there was I had to get up into Kentucky before I saw corn that was actually green.
No.
And it really made me sad when I was coming through the Mennonite country of South Central Tennessee, you know, around Etheridge and so forth. I was like, "Oh, y'all, it's going to be bad, y'all." Because I mean, the corn was all brown. And I saw where it had tasseled up and everything, and just, you know, cuz you got to drive slow through there anyway cuz, you know, buggies. And which I didn't see any of, but still, I didn't want to be pulled over by a buggy with a blue light on it or anything. But I could tell that the ears really never formed.
Man.
But, you know, God forbid they should acknowledge the reality of climate change, right?
Nope. Well, they just sent out a report the other day about people, the celebrities that are wasting water here in L.A.
Wait a minute. Hydro-shaming?
Hydro-shaming. And this time, boys and girls, this portion of the show is called Hydro-shaming. So we have to have Kim Kardashian
and Sylvester Stallone.
Well, there's a brain trust.
Right. I'm like, I'm like, wow. Kim friggin' Kardashian and Sylvester Stallone. And so, speaking of rich people, so there's an area, I know you've heard of Laurel Canyon and Coldwater Canyon and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard of Benedict Canyon?
No.
You've heard of Benedict Canyon?
No.
Okay. So Benedict Canyon is between...
Is that where Benedict, what's his snutch, lives? Frumious Bandersnatch, whatever that actor's name is?
Cumberbatch.
Bandersnatch, exactly.
Okay, never mind. Yeah. Bandersnatch. Well, no. It's a highfalutin part. It's like part of Bel Air, Beverly Hills, what have you. And so the people up there are just totally up in arms because they're trying to get the hotel, people who are trying to build a hotel there, is trying to get the area rezoned so it could be commercial. And so they're all up in arms because it's like, oh my God, we can't have any more people up, you know, this can't have to be a commercial area because of the narrow streets and blah, blah, blah. And, yet, you know, we can't worry about the ecology and the animals. And I'm like, no, you're not worried about any of that. Granted, there should not be anything else built, because this is what's so funny. They're like, you know, we can build houses up here, but, you know, not hotels. And I'm going, first of all, how many Airbnb places are up there anyway? But that's a whole other conversation. But what they don't want is a hotel, because they can't keep people out. Because anybody that can afford a hotel room can come up in there. You know, but granted, like, there should not be anything else built there, because most of this stuff is, like we talked about the other day, are built up against the goddamn hills and mountains. And Robin, you know what we have here? I mean, I know it's been a while since we've had a really bad earthquake, and God help the people in Mexico. I haven't heard much about it again. Was there a lot of damage? Was there, because it was a 7-point something in Mexico yesterday, but I haven't heard anything else
about it. On the same day that two other previous earthquakes had struck.
Right. And then, of course, you know, Puerto Rico is... I did not know that... I had a feeling, but I was hoping I was not... Yeah, that I was wrong. But they still haven't fully recovered from Hurricane Maria in 2017. So now, 5 years later, what's this one's name? Irene, or whatever. And so now,
Fiona.
They have yet
Fiona.
Another one.
Fiona.
Speaking of, you know, and it's just, at what point are we going to help and do something about what's happening in Puerto Rico? And apparently the power company is bankrupt. And that's another place where they're talking about privatizing the electricity. I'm like, God help them. These people just cannot catch a break. It's just disgusting. So anyway, so like I said, the only reason why when they were going on about the ecosystem up there and the harm to the animals, and do you know how I'm listening to the news going, are you fucking kidding me? You really care? If you really cared about the ecosystem and all that, there wouldn't be a neighborhood up there in the first place. I'm sorry, am I yelling?
A little bit.
Okay, I'm sorry, Horn family. It's just that I can't
understand hypocrisy. It just makes my blood boil. And speaking of, so obviously we didn't get our district attorney did not get recalled. So now these people just, so there's been an uptick in apparently in crimes committed with guns. And our chief of police, who basically might as well be Villanova anyway, Villanueva rather, he's going, I love it when they say he's partially blaming the district attorney, because he says, well, you know, the criminals don't think they're going to, even if they use a gun, there's, you know, there's no gun enhancement, and there's, you know, they're just going to get away with this, which is a lie. It's straight up lie. It's a straight up lie. It's just, I am so tired of these people. Like, I guess, I can't remember her name. It's a sister. And she's the head of DEI for some, I don't know if it's government or something. And they're calling her a racist because this is what she said.
Now, you said DEI. You said DEI. Let's make sure.
I'm sorry.
Diversity, equity.
Okay, Diversity.
Equity.
And inclusion.
Right.
And inclusion. And so they got they got their draws in a bunch. For those of them that wear them, you know. But anywho, because she said, "I am so tired of 99," and she talked about the people that she has encountered of 99% of the white men and 95% of the white women in education that have no clue about what racism really is. Is that racist, Robin?
I hardly think so.
Okay. Well, you know, she's being racist, and she's stirring the pot, and she's not being racist. She's just talking about what she's encountering, and hence her argument right there for you to say that what she said is racist? That's kind of like, remember years back when I was doing, I had a school run that I was dealing with, you know, little kids in that car seat. And I had this one little white boy, who was throwing temper tantrums and kept us up at the school for like 20 minutes because he didn't want this and he didn't want that. And if it had been one of the colored kids, the black kids or the Latinx kids, they would have gotten into so much trouble. But the little white boy can have a temper tantrum, and I said, well, this is white privilege in action. Oh, so I got removed from that program because what I said was racist. And Robin, you know, I really could have sued. I really could have sued, but the only reason why I didn't is because it would have fallen back on Jan.
Right.
But how are you gonna say that the black queer woman who is pointing out white privilege is racist? Okay. That part. But this is the world that we live in. You know, like these people, that woman that you played right before I called, going on and on about rainbow fentanyl, and when she said, it's the Democrats that wake up every morning talking about abortion. And we're like, I'm like, what the fuck? It's like gay sex, you know, and Republicans care more, talk more about gay sex than any gay person that I know.
Yes, absolutely. And the same thing applies to me, you know. Right wingers and Republicans spend more time thinking about my boobs than I do. And I'm trying to be close to gentle here. Well, let me share something because we're running out of time, and you'll get an inspirational jolt out of this. The shitty Republicans in the Buckeye State, hell wouldn't hold them, but they must hold a hearing today about their aching desire to ban trans kids from the potty and make it unlawful to properly gender someone in a public school in Ohio, and to forcibly out trans kids to the parents who may throw them out on the street or maybe beat them to death, you know, for who they are, because they're loving parents. Well, about 60 people spoke at the hearing. Somewhere around 55 of them were opposed to this hateful bill. There were maybe four or five that, and the four or five said some really just purely toxic, shitty stuff. But, I mean, you want to hear some inspiration. It's a shame that this fight has to be mounted. But, my God, this is a teacher by the name of Dawn Riggs. And she talks about what it means to her to run an open and inclusive classroom. And by the way, this is all taking place when one state to the east, yes, here in almost level West by Coal, Manchinistan, they're taking the rainbow flags out of high school classrooms in Morgantown, the most liberal city in West Virginia, because they are deemed to be political. So inclusivity is now political, but arguing in favor of gender apartheid is not, and sexuality apartheid. So this is Dawn Riggs. I got a couple of these clips. They're powerful things. I mean, God, you got to wonder how many children would benefit from having a Dawn Riggs in their classroom. Check it out.
Good morning. My name is Dawn Riggs. I'm from Logan, Ohio, and I am an educator in my 33rd year of teaching. I'm here to oppose the harmful resolution presented by Member Shea. I am certified in theater and in science, so my experience on this issue is multifaceted. As a teacher, I have had the privilege of working with many LGBTQ+ students in my career. Specific to transgender youth, I have many trans and non-binary students in my classes. My experience with transgender individuals spans my entire career. I am still in touch with some of those folks. Every single former student has told me how much knowing they had a safe place to be their authentic selves has meant to them. They have shared stories about traumas they were experiencing outside my classroom, from classmates, other teachers, family members. They have told me about their cutting. They have told me about their suicidal thoughts, their depression and anxiety and wish to disappear. The fact that they could walk into my classroom, be called the name they chose, and be called by the pronouns that reflected their lived experience made a difference. Even if no other adult in their life affirmed their identity, they knew they would be safe for at least a little while each day. 33 years of teaching, how many students is that? I will never know how many transgender students have felt safe and protected in my classroom, but I am proud to say that they were. It is no burden to use a name that we are asked to use. It is no burden to use the pronouns that are shared with us. If your friend William asks you to call him Billy, you don't blink an eye. If your friend Elizabeth says, I go by Lily, you call her Lily, and we just say okay. The only difference between these examples and those opposed by this harmful resolution is the perception that a student's gender does not fit your expectation of it. The damage done by that policy is unthinkable, and I will not discriminate against my students, and this Board of Education must not either. The language in this proposal that teachers must out their transgender students when they are all not ready to be out is horrifying. Our students must be able to choose the time and the manner in which they share their transness and with whom. It is not our place to force them to do so. I urge you to oppose this hateful and misguided rhetoric. Thank you.
How you like that?
Preach. That man.
A theater and a science teacher. I mean, she's got broad experience. Let's see if we can work a couple more of these in here, because this is what actual love and caring sounds like. This is what an actual competent teacher sounds like. Because remember, over in Virginia, there's some guy, and he's like a coach or something. And the thing was, well, Jesus don't want me to call a kid him who I don't think is a him, and I think she's a her, and I ain't gonna do nothing Jesus don't want me to do. And one in court. So anyway, almost all 60 speakers were against this hateful policy. This is a teacher. Her name is Ada, and she's amazing too. Wait a minute.
Too hard for you to remember. My pronouns are she, her. I'm 24 years old, and hello, my name is Andrea Wood, but I go by Ada. I hope that isn't too hard for you to remember. My pronouns are she, her. I'm 24 years old, and I am transgender. And for the record, I am not a burden. I spent the last few hours shaking in anticipation of coming here to speak. My fiance, who is non-binary, was afraid for me to come today because they fear such a large gathering of Q+ people would be a target for a mass shooting. You've heard and will hear many references to the disproportionately high rates of poor mental health and suicide amongst transgender youth, which, quite frankly, you would already know if you knew anything about the topics of which you are attempting to change laws. To be clear, our poor mental health is not because we are trans. It is because other people are harming us. It is because being followed into the bathroom and viciously harassed in schools and online. And because of things like this. Which again, this resolution wishes to explicitly legalize discrimination. If a parent does not know about a child's identity, it is for a reason. It is right next door on the courthouse, written on the wall, carved in stone. Education and morality constitute the force and majesty of free government. You may care. You may not. I can't tell. Which is truly a horrifying feeling to have about one's government, by the way. But this is the bottommost line. The bottommost line. If you pass this resolution, children will die. I'll say that again in case you need to hear it again. If you pass this resolution, children will die. Children will die.
30 seconds.
Thank you.
She's not wrong.
No. You know, I just think about my life, and had I just realized my authentic self and I was still living at home. And I know my mother wouldn't have killed me, but she probably would have tried to beat the gay or the queer out of me. I don't know if she would have thrown me out of the house, but I don't know. She says she wouldn't, but I don't know. And that's horrifying that I would even think that my mother would do this. But the thing is, I don't know. So I never.
I was just going to say that I've been to my parents' gravesite more since I transitioned than before. And I know they're not there, but somehow it seems an appropriate place to have a conversation with them. And I go there and I talk with them. And I say some fairly profound things. I say things like, I wish to God that I could have felt confident, safe enough, so that you could have actually known your daughter. I wish I could have known for a fact that you would have accepted me. And instead, you had to die not knowing. And that's a hell of a thing to that's a hell of a thing to take into account. You want to think they would, but you can't be sure.
You can't be sure.
Because if I'd just been gay, that would have driven them bananas. But to be trans,
no way.
By the way, responding to the teacher above, and I'm talking about Don Riggs. Jude says, the current audio, for me, it's a moment of articulated grace enclosed within her being and sent out into the ether. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Jude. It's so sad that this battle is being fought in places where it shouldn't be. You know, the one teacher who said, you know, my name's Andrea, but I go by Ada, and I hope that's not too much trouble for you.
For you. Exactly. Like, it's like, you know, my brother's name is William. We call him Will. If I told you, you know, my name is Tracy. If I told you I wanted you to call me by something else, you wouldn't have a problem doing it. It would be like, okay.
And let's get one more speaker in, because remember, you know, this is the attempt to Alabama-fy Ohio. I mean, that's what they want to do. And this is Chamomile Ogden.
My name is Cam Ogden. I'm 6 feet tall in these boots, my voice is a tad deeper than I'd like it to be, and I'm a proud transgender woman. Like many trans people, I spent a long time living as someone that I wasn't. I stayed in the closet because I wasn't supported at home, and I was afraid of how I would be treated at school. A classmate of mine was also transgender, and unlike me, they were brave enough to be themselves. As a result, they were subjected to shocking treatment. Contrary to some of the sillier claims by people in this room, watching my friend leave school and cross a busy intersection every day to use the restroom didn't make me think that being trans was trendy. It made me afraid. It hurts to know that I'll never get those years back, but I don't regret hiding. I wasn't ready to come out, and it wasn't safe for me to transition yet. However, what I do regret, and will never forgive myself for, is not standing up for my friend when they were treated so horribly. I first learned of this resolution from the parent of a trans kid that I've advocated for in the past. It broke my heart to listen to this mother, desperate to keep her child safe, ask me what kind of danger the Ohio Board of Education posed to her child. I wish I could have said that such a ridiculous resolution would get its author laughed out of the room for trying to use their platform to make moral and medical determinations about transgender youth that have nothing to do with education. But I had a responsibility to tell her the truth, so I explained to her how the resolution might affect her child. If ignorance prevails in this governing body today, transgender students may lose their access to the restroom at their school, be forced to answer to what the author referred to as biological pronouns instead of their preferred pronouns, and kicked out of athletic and social activities just because of how they were born. Right now, trans children are terrified of the Ohio Board of Education. Is this governing body proud of that? Right now, trans youth are having panic attacks at the prospect of being outed by their own schools and made more vulnerable than ever before. Is this governing body proud of that? Right now, adult bullies in the Board of Education, state legislature, school boards across this state, and many more areas of public interest are attacking trans kids for cheap political points and attention. The bullies in this room have nothing to be proud of today. To those that are unsure about where they fall on this issue, I want to remind you of what I said earlier about regret. You will always remember how you chose to act in the presence of injustice, especially if you were in a position to stand up for the vulnerable and you chose not to. Don't be a bystander. Stand up for the vulnerable. Do something you'll be proud of.
Ice cold.
Ice. But see, the problem is, Robin, these people have no heart. They have no conscience.
No, and this has nothing to do with the well-being of trans children or the well-being of cis children. This is about filthy, filthy, filthy politics. That's all.
That's all. It's just evil, and it's hateful,
and it's just out and out
vicious.
It's theocracy. It is religious intolerance. God.
Just, you know, I mean, again, we got, you know, I am a black woman, and I'm cisgender, and I'm pretty safe. Face it, I'm really a shuffle when it comes to tow truck drivers and stuff like hire to ramp. Anywho, but nobody's going to really come for me, pretty much, especially where I live. I'm relatively safe. I'm not naive to think that I'm completely safe, but the fact of the matter is, for the most part, in where I live in L.A. I'm, again, an overweight, middle-aged black woman. Nobody's going to really fuck with me. So, but it terrifies me about what happens to my friends like you in other states. It terrifies me to think of anybody who is not following, you know, the heteronormative idea of what a person should be.
Well, and the fact,
like,
and the fact,
it terrifies me.
Yeah, and the fact that you've got cis people standing in judgment of what of queer realities, queer bodies. You know, the nerve of
right.
That.
Who are you to decide what is and what is not? I have been made more aware of, again, until, I'm going to be honest, until I became my authentic self and started going to my church. And then what really did it for me was watching Codes. And to see what these women were going through, these black trans women. And this was in, you know, the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
In the height of the AIDS epidemic. And it broke my heart. Because not only are you black, because it's like, you know, when people say this is a lifestyle, it's a choice. It's hard enough being a black person in this country.
Yeah.
Do you really, if you really want to sit down and think about this, if you know, using all your cognitive abilities and using critical thought and all these things, if you really wanted to do that and said, Jesus fucking Christ, it is hard enough being a black person in this country, but I want to be my authentic self, so I am going to transition to become a woman? What the entire fuck?
I know, and thank God this isn't taking place in your Californias and Oregons and Washingtons, because there are a lot of people out there who think, oh God, if I can just, especially the younger ones, if I can just get away, I can go to fill in the blank California, Oregon, Washington, Illinois, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts. Yeah,
you know. And it is just beyond me to, again, I thank God every day that I am here, and that I, you know, even as much as I want to work, if I do worry about how my father, how my grandmother, who are long past, would have, you know, and tomorrow's the 21st anniversary of my dad's death. Isn't that ironic? 21-21. So it's just all these things, and you think about it, and like you said, as much as you love your parents and you know your parents loved you, how would they have reacted? Would you have been safe? Would you have been thrown out of the house? Would you have been put on the street?
I'll never know
because I didn't have the courage. Or else I had the common, or else I had the common good sense not to.
No. That part. It had nothing, Robin, you had nothing to do with whether you had the courage or not. No, no, no. Like you said, you had the good sense because you knew where you were living and you knew what kind of environment you lived in at the time. It had nothing to do with courage. I want to mention, I read a story,
oh, it was a month or more ago now. It came out of Alabama. It was during the great trans debate in Alabama. And it was the story of an Alabama trans girl who knew she had to get the hell out. And she left on a bus and she went to San Francisco. A little bit. Sometime later, she came back for a little while. Then she got back on a bus. Left Alabama, went back to San Francisco. And she was beaten to death in San Francisco. Because there was no housing. And this was the 80s.
Okay,
this wasn't the current mm-hmm. housing crisis. And it's just, it's a horror. Yeah. And at
it's
some,
a horror.
At some point in time, it would be great if the horror ended. But I got to get out of here, Tracy, because we're 12 minutes over, and I do want
to... You got to...
I want to finish the month. I don't want to get cut off by Podbean.
Yeah, but the Podbean police. But I love you. Be safe. Take good care. And we'll talk again sometime soon.
Indeed. Tracy, you have a good night, dear. Bye. And on the way out the door, a note from Tom in sunny San Rafael, your broadcast voice. That's not cringing. It's guffawing. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. So, it's like I said, it's so nice to be home. So nice to be back behind the microphone, back engaged in the conversation with all of you. We managed to knock out 205 bucks today. Thank you so much. So that means that we still won't have a $2,000 fundraising hole. So we are at, what did I say? Yeah, 13. So we'll be at 1645 tomorrow. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you. Your friendship, your love, your kindness mean more to me than you will ever know. And I hope you know I feel the same way. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky earlier in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy coming your way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Wow, that's great. I love studio noise. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. And thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch. We talked a little bit at the meeting I was at about Cold River Mountain Watch's work. And they are the hardest working, bravest people I know, standing in the breach against a multi-billion dollar industry that would just as soon see them dead. Now a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Annette and I are looking around trying to figure out our countdown to booster. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Wear your masks when you're in spaces where maggots might be. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet. Like Paul from Parts Unknown says. I have a note from Paul. I'll go to that tomorrow. And, you know, if somebody comes towards you saying, oh, the Democrats are bringing in the rainbow fentanyl and they could kill 500 million Americans, oh, avoid that silly Romney maggot like the plague. Because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.